Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Talk Back Tuesday, but I am out of town, so I'm going to deal with a question previously given to me. That is, once again, I am out of town. If you call into the number, I cannot answer you live today. You can still submit a question to us, of course, by email, by snail mail, or just give us a message over at the church building at 487-5342. But I cannot answer a live question today, so I will deal with one that previously came up in a discussion, okay? So looking at some things of the Bible as they relate to fellowship and homosexuality. Now, I've dealt with no telling how many times the issue of the modern day gay marriage movement, whatever they want to call it, things like that. I don't like to use the word gay because that word actually just indicates happy, and there's no reason why somebody should be happy in those kind of relationships. So anyway, the modern homosexual movement I've dealt with innumerable times, but I have not dealt with the subject of what happens when it comes into your family. That's right. What happens when you have to decide what extent should I exercise withdrawal or fellowship with respect to my own family, perhaps extended family, that are dealing with this issue? It could be even in your immediate family. This is something that has touched a great number of people nowadays as their cousins, sons, daughters, aunts, uncles, all kinds of people that are related to them enter into these homosexual relationships. It's not that there are so many more people that are homosexual than used to be, but it used to be that they couldn't try to force it on you, and so they stayed in the closet, if you will. But anyway, as you look into how people are dealing with this, then you have to divide it up and approach it in a systematic fashion according to the will of God. First of all, there is a difference between somebody outside the church and somebody in the church. Let's say that I have an uncle, and that uncle announces that he is a homosexual. There is a difference between him, whether or not he was called a brother in Christ, or whether he wasn't. There is also a difference as to exactly where he worships or serves. So I would not feel the same sort of obligations if the person lives off somewhere else, separate from me. But I live in a different place. There is an obligation on the part of the local congregation, and I would definitely bring it to their attention if he is a member of the church, but there is not as high of an obligation when somebody is removed from you and the opportunities for fellowship are diminished or just not there. Well, somebody says, well, you still care about him. Certainly you do. But what I'm saying is that he's definitely subject under the discipline of the church if he is called a brother. 1 Corinthians 5. He says, what have I to do to judge those who are without? Now, let's say that Uncle Jimbo, whoever he is or something, is not a member of the church. Well, the Bible says God judges him. I preach on the subject, but what am I going to do for him? I might offer him some kind of assistance, but I'm not going to be real rough with him because he's already judged by God. God will take care of him. It's not a question of me trying to do something to help God's church because he isn't in God's church. And since he is not in God's church, then there's nothing there particularly for me to do any further along that line. There is another question that comes up too. Is it any different from other kinds of sin? And the answer there is also yes. There is a difference. The difference is this. Let's say that, once again, I'm dealing with the same uncle, but instead of him being a homosexual, he's an adulterer. And a person says, oh, well, that would make no difference whatsoever. Really? Are you really saying it makes no difference? He's out there playing ball with your boy. Now, just because Uncle Jimbo is an adulterer, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be rubbing off on your boy. I'm not saying he doesn't need to be rebuked. What I'm saying is that what he is doing is sinful, but it's not unnatural. And there is a difference between that and his behavior around, say, your children that might rub off. You say, what do you mean by rub off? It just has an influence by his manner of life. Now, if he brings along his mistress and she is dressed in scanty clothes or something like that, then obviously that would rub off too. But just his manner of life, his mannerisms and the way that he expresses himself, plus the possibility that he could have some sort of attraction to another person in and around the family, a family friend, something like that. All of that poses a different kind of situation. Once again, what he has is, if he's homosexual, is an unnatural thing. Now, an adulterer sins, but what they are doing is not necessarily against the ways that they perceive as being natural. It is something that's wrong and that they should know that is wrong innately. I'm not denying that. However, it's not something that when you look at it and you study on Romans chapter 1, is something that they look at and see as an unnatural liaison. Therefore, there are differences in the way that I would deal with that as well. Somebody says, well, Tim, you got to get more specific. Let's say it's somebody in your immediate family, and they are given over to homosexuality. In what way would you deal with them? Well, I haven't in my directly immediate family had to deal with that. I have in the extended family, and it's not something that I've dealt with very well because, once again, he moved off. He's way away. And I only see him on an extremely rare occasion, and that's not an occasion where I am alone with the individual, anything like that. You see what I'm saying? So I cannot speak from experience on this. I can say that there is a situation where you would ask yourself, in what way are they trying to push what they are? You ever thought about asking yourself that? In what way are they trying to push what they are? Am I going to make provision for him and his significant other to have a place to stay at my house? Certainly not. Am I going to tell him that he's personally not welcome? Not necessarily. Once again, there's going to be a big difference as to whether he is called a brother in Christ or not. Am I going to have a situation develop here where he says, I want you to acknowledge something. Like, say, for example, he shows up and he's got a ring on his finger and he wants some kind of acknowledgement of what he is. Would I do that? No, I wouldn't acknowledge it at all. There's not going to be any kowtowing to whatever it is that he wants. However, should I come up and confront him? Well, if it's in your immediate family, then I would definitely arrange a discussion on the matter. Yes, there has to be some kind of confrontation, some kind of intervention, if you will. Somebody who is separated from you in the extended or outside of your realm of influence, well, you have to judge that, don't you? There's no direct Bible on it, so you would have to say, my time, is it better spent dealing with that or going to him, maybe far away, as opposed to ministering somebody locally in the local congregation? Okay? So if it's in my immediate family and there is an issue of homosexuality, yeah, you've got to let that be known how you feel, and then you judge when you say to them what the truth is, how they reacted to that. You judge that as to how you're going to proceed in the future. Are they very defensive? Are they combative? Do they try to take themselves away from you and your presence because you have defended the truth? Then that will let you know in the future how you should go with that. A lot of times, it's very hard to be strong. People are very weak. They say, well, I don't want them to take away the other people that I love that are associated with that away from me. I don't want that to result in some kind of hard feelings in the family. But folks, look, we're living in a society that is extremely weak with respect to this. And even if they say they don't believe in homosexuality, they want you to behave in a weak way around it. And there is no way to behave in a weak way around it and be right with God. You've got to be strong in these cases. Well, they have children. They might take access to the children away from me. A lot of times I find that those fears are not well grounded. Many times those who are outside the church, those who are homosexual and things like that, are very poor parental type figures, and they need lots of help, and they know that they need lots of help. And therefore, they might act like they're going to take access away from you, but since they can't handle things on their own, then you're going to end up with access anyway. And if you don't have access, you need to keep a close eye on their situation, because you may need to tell somebody if those children are not being cared for in that situation. Let's say you got a homosexual and they're caring for children, and you think, oh no, if I confront them on it, I'm going to lose access to my own grandchildren, something like that. You keep a close eye on that. If they're going to be combative about that and try to take fellowship away from you, then they may not end up giving the care that they should for those children. Somebody says, you mean spy on them? I mean report to the appropriate people and make sure that they are taking care of the children like they ought to, because there's no motivation for somebody outside the church or unfaithful in the church or somebody who is homosexual to care for their children like they ought to. That's a sad situation, but that's just the way it is. And we need to watch out for that kind of thing. There are many more aspects to this, and I may delve into it more in the future, but I wanted to give you a groundwork for how you would go about dealing with issues of fellowship and homosexuality in the family. And that's something that comes up and is going to come up more and more in our families. And so I wanted you to start thinking along those lines. Read Romans chapter 1, read 1 Corinthians 5, and see if you can make any headway with that. And we'd be glad to take any questions in the future on it. Thank you for listening this afternoon.